Let's read this again. Matthew 2, if you have it. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and after having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So, I mean, like I said at the start, I've got some bits and pieces, and I just hope that there's something in what I want to say, or what I've got to say, that is important for you. Hope so. I haven't quite worked out what's important for me in what I'm about to say just yet, so I'm hoping there's a moment for me. But I genuinely hope that there is a moment in this morning where there will be a thing, a sentence, an image, a picture, even a, "Oh, I didn't realise that." If that's what it is, then I suppose that's great. But I really hope that there is something that each of us can take away with us from within what I'm going to say. So let's just start with the story, because that's all there is. A load of the stuff that you might have banging around in your head about the three wise men has come from people's conjecture after the event. So some of the stuff about them, you may know then, here's a little quiz, their names. Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar. Well, if you look on that ultimate source of knowledge, Wikipedia, you discover that lots of different continents and countries and stuff have other names for them, as you would expect, I suppose. It says they come from the east. Chinese Christians have a feeling that one of them came from China. People who believe this stuff in India believe that one of them may have come from India. Christians who come from Persia and Iran think they all came from there. But it only says east, and it doesn't mention their names. There are traditions that have built up around them over the years and stuff, but a lot of them come from bits of writing that were written thousands of years after the actual events. So their names and part of the story that we have about them have come from other bits of writing that have happened since. So let's just go back to what it says. So let's start with that. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now the first bit of conjecture, and the first bit of not really sure, is just who these Magi actually were. Now if this group of people believed that this baby, or whoever it was, I've said baby, haven't I? This person was going to be King of the Jews. They haven't come to meet him. They haven't come to just say hello or look at him out of some sort of curiosity. That isn't why they've come. They said they've come to worship him. So the first little bit of conjecture that arises just from that first line is that maybe somewhere in their heritage, these Magi had some sort of link with the Jewish community. Maybe they were something to do with the Jews who had been exiled in that kind of direction some centuries before. Now, here is a little bit of a step too far, and I may have mentioned this at some point in a previous Christmas, but it is maybe that they came from a line that was started by Daniel. Because Daniel was pretty cool at sussing out dreams. Daniel was a very spiritual being who was seeing visions and all that kind of stuff, and he was put in charge of a bunch of people who have that sort of ilk by the king at the time. So maybe Daniel being placed in that eastern country all those centuries before meant that the Magi could happen. So maybe God knew that the Magi were needed, and maybe God put Daniel in that place in order that that kind of thing could happen. Might come back to that in a bit. But they came to worship him. They didn't just come to meet him and say hello and tick a curiosity box. They came to worship him. It wasn't just to say hello. It was to get down on their knees. And they traveled all that way to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, for this is what the prophet has written. This is so brilliant. Which way would be east be? There's the sun. That way, all right. The wise men over in the east, they set out towards where the star was going. They didn't have a clue where they were heading. They set out to worship this saviour, this king of the Jews, without really knowing what they were doing. In a sense, they were trying to follow Jesus, only knowing part of the story. Well, that's good news, because that's kind of what we try to do, I guess. They knew they were heading out on this perilous journey to find the King of the Jews, not knowing where they were supposed to be heading when they got there. And they enlisted the help of other people on the way in order to find out where this person, where this King of the Jews was to be found. They headed out on a journey even though they didn't know where they were supposed to be going. They headed out on a journey. This maybe is my bit. I found it already. They headed out on a journey without actually knowing where they were supposed to be going. The star turns up in the sky. You know, we get a message from God somehow. Somebody says something to us. Somebody prompts us into doing something. And you know what we sometimes do, what we often do? Oh, I don't know. They just went, okay. Not knowing where it was they were supposed to be going. If you feel that there is something that you should be doing, maybe take a leaf out of the wise men's book. Just do it. God will sort out the destination, but you have to start the journey. You can't find Bethlehem from over there. You can find Bethlehem once you're nearer. And maybe that was what the wise men's adventure was. There's a star. Let's go. Where are we going? Don't know. And that should be the model of our journey. I feel that God is calling me to be a florist. I'm just making this up. That isn't a word. I feel I'm being called to be a florist. Let's learn how to muck about with flowers. Where are we going with this? Don't know. The King of the Jews has been born. They found something out about this. Where are we heading? Casper, where are we heading? Melchior, where are we heading? No idea. Let's go. And maybe when our life is like that, maybe the important thing isn't to know where we're heading, but the important thing is, let's go. Maybe. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Loads of stuff about that. The exact time the star had appeared. it is thought that maybe the exact time the star had appeared was when Jesus was born. And so then they journeyed, and then they found him. And so that's borne out a little bit by when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child. So, you know, like the nativity scene, where you've got the shepherds, tea towels, and then the wise men, cardboard camel. That isn't thought to be the way that it happened. I think nativity scenes throughout the years since paintings and stuff have been done have been wise men and the shepherds both at the same time. If you're really bothered, next Christmas, if you've got a little nativity scene, put the shepherds around the cradle and then put the wise men and the camel in the next room, because it seems to suggest that they get there later. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but I wonder whether if the star happened when Jesus was born, and the Bible goes to great lengths to mention that Jesus is a child, whether a couple of years have passed. And in actual fact, Joseph and Mary didn't stay in Bethlehem and meet up with the wise men. They went back to Nazareth, maybe. Joseph did a bit of carpentry and stuff. And this is Bethlehem. This is the city of Joseph's family. So maybe 2 years later, they were just visiting the relatives. They were in a house. Jesus is mentioned as a child. It doesn't need to be the same amount of time. It could be some years later. It could be a visit. It was Jesus' birthday after all. So a couple of years later, maybe, is when the wise men turned up. Now, that's not important, does it? That's hardly going to shatter your Christian faith, whether that's right or that's wrong. But it is interesting, the idea that what it says in the Bible is sometimes misinterpreted by culture in order to just make it a pretty scene. And sometimes the things it says in the Bible aren't actually that pretty. Reality and life are included within it. So the pretty Christmas scene maybe never actually happened, because the wise men had only just seen the star when the baby was born. And they were a couple of years away. Maybe. So the last thing from the story, before I just talk about something else. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's supposed to be for a king, for God, and for a sacrifice. So those three gifts. Now, I had always really thought, I think, that these wise men had pre-prepared these gifts because they knew in their minds what they were expecting. They were giving these gifts to the King of the Jews, King and God and sacrifice. So they'd come along with presents already. And these were the things that they were going to give. And it always struck me that maybe these presents were kind of inappropriate for a baby. And the three kings, if there were three of them, are chatting to each other going, well, are we going to give these presents anyway? Because it's a baby. It's not what we thought at all. Should we just give them anyway? Or should we find something else? No, let's give them anyway. It isn't like that. These wise men, these magi, listen. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these wise men, traveling in a caravan of camels and all that sort of stuff, they opened their treasures. They chose these gifts having seen him. They didn't just go, oh, we've got these presents anyway, should we just leave them here? They chose them because of who they saw. They chose them because of what they understood this King of the Jews to be. It wasn't, oh, how embarrassing. It's just a little kid. We should have bought Lego. It isn't that. They saw him, they recognized what he was, and they chose out of their treasures gold, frankincense, and myrrh. King, God, and sacrifice. They chose them specifically. They weren't presents that were given by mistake. They were presents because they recognized who Jesus actually was. Okay. I'll tell a story I've told before, and I don't remember the details, but I think the four of us, me, Alison, Florence, and Ruby, were at the Olympics, and I think a friend of one of the girls had been to a festival, and I think one of my daughter's friends had queued for a very, very long time to meet and get the autograph of a singer in a band. Now, we were talking about this, and this girl missed a bunch of concerts at that festival because she was queuing to meet the lead singer of this band. And we were just umming and ahhing, the four of us, as to whether that seemed like a waste of time or not, and I think even the girls thought that it was perhaps a waste of time. But we had this little discussion about who would you queue to see? Who would you queue up to meet? Who would you queue up and miss other stuff for? And I'm not a massive fan of meeting my heroes at all. I think if you, there's a phrase, isn't there? Don't meet your heroes. I think if you meet your heroes, you perhaps find that they're not as brilliant as you thought they were. Yeah, there we go. And the only person I could really think of who I would queue to meet, and this does sound cheesy, but it was a conversation that genuinely happened, was Jesus. And so we were just toying with the idea of, well, how long would you queue for? Quite a long time. Yeah, 10 minutes. How long would you queue for in order that you knew you were going to shake Jesus' hand at the end? It's like, yeah. Quite a long time. Didn't really come up with a number, but quite a long time. So just going to ask you just to play with that for a moment in your head. And then, what would you ask him? And that's a real kind of, what would you ask him? What would you tell him? How far would you go? How far would you travel if you knew that this was a possibility? The wise men traveled a long way. East is, the description of east implies a blooming long way east. The fact that they traveled on, presumably, oh, it doesn't say, why am I saying stuff that isn't there? Let's presume they didn't walk. But they're carrying stuff. They opened up their treasures. And if they're opening up their treasures, they traveled on something. And if they're traveling from the east, they would have had to travel across desert. It's going to be camels. They traveled a long way. They traveled a long way in the hope of maybe meeting somebody. And not just meeting, but worshipping. Just imagine queuing for a few hours. 2 hours, tops? Yeah. So imagine for a queuing for a couple of hours to meet Jesus, and you got to the end of the queue. It's just like, what would you do? What would you ask? Hello. You're great. I don't know. I just don't know what. You'd have a long time in that queue to work out what you were going to say. And you'd play through lots of different, just, the wise men, they traveled a long way. They traveled a long way in the hope of maybe worshipping something. We've got it better than them. Because we all have a feel of who it is we would be meeting. We've got the Bible that tells us who it is we would be meeting. Hopefully, for most of us, we've got this personal experience of who it is we would be meeting. But they travelled a long, long way in the hope of meeting, I don't know. They didn't know it was really going to happen. They were trusting the stars. They were trusting promises they'd read, written down somewhere. But they travelled a long way in order to maybe meet up with something. We don't have to go very far at all. We can meet with Jesus right here. Meeting with him physically is the thing I've just been talking about, but the idea of meeting with him. But how far are we prepared to do that even? How much of our life are we prepared to open up so that we can properly meet with him? How much of our lives are we prepared to change so that that meeting is a great meeting and not a kind of guilty, rubbish kind of encounter? So the wise men were prepared to go a very, very long way. And one of the verses in the thing we just sung, that's the word, sung, yeah. What would you bring? You've got to give him a present, haven't you? You know, you go around someone's house or someone, you've got to take a present. What would you bring? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I was a wise man, I would do my part. And then it talks about bringing my heart, bringing the very center of who I am. So we're queuing up to meet Jesus. Hours in this queue. Presumably the queue wouldn't be moving very quickly because people would have a lot to say. But when you finally get there, what is it you're going to say? Are you genuinely happy to say, this is me? I'm yours. This is me. Or would you just be asking things? Or would you just be requiring things? Or would you just be praying things? I've got to leave that with you because I can't get into where you folks are at with that kind of stuff. But if you've queued for all that time to see Jesus, what is it that you're going to ask him? What is it that you're going to say to him? What is it that you're actually capable of bringing to him? And BMS Disaster Relief Fund. One of the things that this Jesus that we would be meeting doesn't want to happen in the world that he has come to save is people suffering and people dying and people being miserable because of their surroundings and stuff. So maybe one of the things that Jesus would be saying back to you, I'm not going to suggest. What do you think Jesus would be saying to you? That's a big one as well. You've queued for a few hours. I guess he'd probably say, are your feet all right? But what would he say to you? And that might be worth an imagine. That might be worth a quiet time. That might be worth a prayer. If you travelled from the east to see Jesus, what would he say to you? Another brilliant thing about the wise men is that probably if Jesus was a couple of years old, he would have been able to speak to them. That would have made the whole journey worth it, surely. Hello? He would have been able to speak to them, which would just be amazing. That would be life-changing for those blokes. I've spoken before about the idea of averages. Pete mentioned it last time as well. If there is something about your life that is average, or if there is something about your life that is less than average, then maybe that's what Jesus would say to you in part of that conversation. And he would talk to you about you trying to become better than average. Because if you're better than average, you raise the average of the whole human race. So if there are things that you know that Jesus would want to say to you, then it's all like Happy New Year, New Year's resolutions. Make your New Year's resolutions with Jesus in mind. Make your New Year's resolutions with God in mind. I might have said this before as well. Forget to-do lists. Write a to-be list. Not things you want to do, but things you want to be. The type of person you want to be. And see if with God's help, with Jesus' help, you can be better than average at that. There's a phrase that we're trying to use over and over at school at the moment, which is be kinder than necessary. Loads of people are not going to be kind. Loads of people are going to be somewhere in the middle. But if we are kinder than necessary, we raise the average of the whole human race. And if we're doing that with Jesus in our minds, if we're doing that with Jesus in our hearts, then we are doing that on behalf of Jesus Christ, which is pretty cool. Right, the trouble with this thing, I haven't got a finish line. I haven't got a thing, and there we have it. I'm hoping that there are things in the things that I've said that have left you thinking, have left you, have left you thinking about the wise men, their relationship with Jesus, your relationship with him, and questions about what you would say to him and what you would expect him to say to you. I think he's the only person in the world that I would queue for. But I don't know what I would say when I got to the end of the queue. I'm hoping that something would turn up in my 2-hour wait. I'm just going to stop. I haven't got a finishing sentence, so here it is. I've finished. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that each of us will recognize who you are and will be prepared to do great things for you and for each other in this coming year. Help us to travel further than average. Help us to be with you more than average. Help us to be the people that you would like us to be, so that we are more than average. With your help, I ask that we would raise the average of everybody. Be with us as we try to do that. And be with us as we journey towards you, even though the outcome may not be known to us at the moment. Thank you for the example of the wise men. Thank you that they were prepared just to go for it, whatever it was. And I pray that you rewarded them greatly with the experience that they had. Be with us all today. Keep us safe this evening. And may each of us enjoy a blessed 2018 with each other and with you. Amen.